Jay?
Oh, are we on?
Oh, God. Welcome back, everybody. It's going to be a hot mess of a show.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
It wasn't even the intern that time.
Although I did screw up a little bit. Good evening and salutations. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. We are streaming live and in color on our YouTube page for all of our Patreon supporters who can catch the show as it's happening and then everyone else the following week. So if you want to see it right away, you know what to do. Anyway, my name is Tom and I'm your host. And as always, I'm in the studio with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
Jay Bear, a.k.a. your boyfriend's boyfriend.
And welcome all back to the show. We have a really cool show today. I'm excited. I am coming off of my birthday roller coaster, right? I hopped on a plane out over the weekend and went to Puerto Rico for the weekend. That was fun.
You were working in cars.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, well, it was a lot. It's good.
When
in Puerto Rico, just go drink, which is what I did. And then, you know, coming back and then getting back into the flow of work was just torture. But I'm glad I did it. It was a spare of a moment thing. And I said, I'm going, I'm doing it. And got to see a lot of friends that I haven't seen in a very long time. The last time I was on the island was when I went back to pick up Grams, who has since passed. Right before Maria. So it's been a very long time since I'd been on the island. And but I had a good time. It was good to go and do all that good stuff. And what did you boys do over this, you know, long weekend since we last recorded? Jaybird, how are you?
Good. I babysat.
Yeah, of course you did. Stayed with my babies.
Yeah, and hung out. It was pretty much low-key, actually. It was fun. Yeah. So I had my own mini vacay.
Mini vacay from everybody else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so that was fun. Good. It was a chill, quiet. I did pretty much nothing. Watch TV and eat.
And chilled.
And Sunday I chilled with mom. You know, the usual Sundays with mom and back here.
The interesting thing is, you know, so Nick got me into this whole HelloFresh thing, right?
Yeah.
And so they deliver a box every Sunday. And right before I left, I said, you know, Jay, there's some stuff in the fridge that needs to be cooked. Make sure you make it and cook it and whatnot. And there was a brand new box coming on Sunday. So just, you know, make sure you help yourself and cook it because I'm not going to be here and it's just going to go bad. And then so I asked him, you know, how did it go? You know, he's like, oh, I didn't follow the instructions. I just, you know, did my own thing.
I did my own thing, but I used all the ingredients.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
It was yummy, yeah. On the third day, no pasta, though.
Yeah.
I just ate all the veggies.
So
One of them had a whole, like, jalapeno. Those shits are so good.
Mm-hmm.
I just cut it up and threw it in, and I cooked it like I was doing just like a stew.
Yeah. Ugh. That's awesome, though.
It's good, yeah.
Now, for me, you know, I order the pasta dishes because I feel you get more bang for your buck out of it, right? Because you can get a dinner and a lunch.
Well, like you can get a dinner and
not
a
my
lunch,
fire but. Ass. I got a big dinner.
Like a sizable, you know, there's just more with the pasta dishes than anything else.
There is.
You know, and I'm not into, like, the whole couscous thing, and I can't deal with those
couscous
kind of dishes.
Is good. You got to try it.
I have. I
was
like
anti-couscous. I eat it.
I don't like the way it pops in my mouth.
That's a first.
There's I hate them both.
I know it's the fact that they're little balls. That's what it is.
He set himself up for that one.
Yeah.
So you're not just used to multiple balls in your mouth?
No, it's just it was just weird.
Surprise.
It's just
we're
weird.
We're learning new things.
There's a weird texture to couscous that I just can't deal
like
with that.
I like it.
Can't. Well, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm happy for you. That makes me happy. I'm really glad for you. But I don't. What about you, Trish? What's going on with you?
Not
you
much.
Came in here looking like a ray of sunshine, and that blue shirt looks fabulous on you, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You look thinner, by the way.
That's because I'm sucking in.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the
24/7?
Thing?
Is that the new thing?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really help with my abs, but it keeps everything, you know.
Yeah. keeps everything else inside where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. No, I mean, not much is going on. Last week was last week. Yeah, not really much to report, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is officially, it's the 18th of April.
Tomorrow is technically 3 years that I've been at the Schubert.
Yeah, imagine that.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, we were. We
time
were,
fucking
we were,
flies.
Time flies when you're on Prozac. Yeah. I know. And you are 2 weeks away from your vacation.
Oh, my God.
Are you excited?
Yes, I'm nervous and excited. I haven't seen these people in a long time, so yeah. I'm slightly nervous, but mainly excited.
Girl, you're going to need a big bag.
I don't know what I'm going to... No, I'll be fine. I've been looking at that new suitcase where you can get the thing and it like, boop.
Yeah, in theory, everything can go boop until you shove too much stuff like I know you're going to do, and then it can't poop no more.
Yeah, well, I do have to do some shopping.
So, and, you know, just think about it. While you're there, you might... you know, just do some stuff too. It's funny because funny that I mention Hawaii, whatever. I feel like the island people say it differently.
Probably.
Yeah, 'cause the double lie at the end is
Hawaii. I don't know. I don't give a shit anyway. But I feel like, everyone's going to Hawaii, like Davis Mallory, who we've featured music mm-hmm. from on our breaks and stuff, and who we've had on the show multiple times. He was just in Hawaii. He was out in the wilderness, you know.
That won't be me.
Having himself a gay old time in some river with waterfalls and blah, whatnot, and came back covered in poison ivy. I'm like, I didn't know that poison ivy existed.
Imagine
in Hawaii.
Flying 14 hours
with poison ivy
to get poison ivy.
All right, so here's the thing that happened to me. I got first time home buyer. I was 20, 22 when I bought my first house. Go to the backyard, and you know, I want to be the man of the house. I'm gonna cut everything down. It was poison ivy all over the back fence. I didn't know what it was. And lo and behold, I'm working up a sweat, and I took a piss behind the garage, and I ended up with poison ivy from...
Did you get it on your pee-pee?
Head to toe.
Oh,
that is bad.
Yeah.
And you are uncut. Uh-huh. Jesus, oof. Mary Joseph.
Yeah, so every time I pee...
You just find your clips to pull it back.
it was not fun. The goody hoodie was not... fun.
Not happy.
Goody
not
hoodie
happy.
Was swollen.
No, it was so, yeah.
Swollen,
I went to
itchy.
See the doctor. The doctor was like, oh. he moved back. I was afraid. I was like, shit, I'm going to die.
What is that?
Yeah.
Alf.
And of course, they give you the same bullshit calamine lotion. This, that, yeah. It wasn't helping.
Can you rub it on for me, doc?
No, it wasn't that cute. but anyways, I was suffering. I was suffering for about 3 days. And my cousin... at the time was dating this girl from Japan, and the girl was like, go to the botanicals and buy, there's a banana leaf extract. It's black. It smells like a banana leaf, and apply that. Within 3 days, it was dried out. It was amazing. Amazing.
Banana leaf extract.
Yeah, the La Mata de Plátano.
Right.
Things that you didn't know.
Yeah.
That now, now you know.
So now I swear by it. I'm like, yeah, that ever happens to me again, I know exactly what I got to do. But
you're going to go to the botanical store.
Yeah.
Where is a botanical store around here? Is that Edge of the Woods?
Yeah, Edge of the Woods is probably our
nearest. Oh, my God. I have to go there.
Are they still open?
I don't know.
They are.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to go there and get me some sandalwood oil. Yeah. I love their oils. They're amazing. But she's smiling. What's going on over here?
That's my tidbit. She got a tit pick. A tit pick, oh boy.
So my colleague, my coworker, has anxiety.
Oh, like most of America.
So let's laugh at her, yeah.
No, I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing at the situation. So tonight is the final public Board of Alders meeting about the upcoming FY24 New Haven budget. And so there's a group of people that we arranged for to go and testify. And I obviously we have the show today because you just came back from Puerto Rico, and so I couldn't go. So I arranged a bunch of stuff to make sure everything worked out. And I asked my colleague, my coworker, if she wouldn't mind at 5:45 going over to the town hall and just, you know, signing. You have to sign up like right before the meeting to testify. And she was like, really worried about it. So I walked her over to the town hall. I was like, this is where you go. This is the room you need to go into. This is where the thing's going to be. And so she was feeling much better. And she's like, you sure like no one's going to be like a bully and like yell at me or like make me like anxious? I was like, no, it'll be fine. You'll be fine. And she just texted me. She was like, I just got yelled at for signing up so many people.
How many people did she sign up?
Just two groups. But it's just like, I was like, oh.
Poor thing. She'll be fine. There's a pill for that.
Yeah, no, I felt bad. I wanted to be there tonight, but, you know, yeah. I sent the right people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to trust that others are able to do what they need to do as well.
Yeah, I'm only one person.
Yeah, trust in the process. Mm-hmm. That's all I always, it's what I always say. So banana leaf extract for all of you out there. Yeah. Maybe I should send that to Davis Mallory. Be like, hey, dude, because he was covered in. And so I sent them a message and I said, so I see that you went to war with nature. You ended up in Hawaii and nature beat your ass. Your battle scars look sexy, though. Because he does. Oh, my God. That man. Mm. Anyway. So what else is going on, boys? Aside from our we're excited. We have somebody coming back today.
Yeah, we do. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I actually booked somebody for the show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's someone that we know, mm-hmm. right? Someone that we love. Mm-hmm.
I don't think the love of my life is going to work out, by the way.
Love of my life, I've hurt you. Which one? That love?
Yeah, I can't say on the show.
Oh, okay. Wait, so whatever happened to the Starbucks guy?
Oh, he's still there.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Is it happening?
I think that ship has sailed.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I feel like if you go and really try, you're going to get far.
I yelled at him the other day for not texting me.
Okay. But that's normal. That's normal boyfriend things.
Yeah, well, he just laughed it off. And then
and that's normal. So then you get psycho and then
the other coworker
and then makeup sex.
Was like Nick texts me all the time like why are you checking the bank? Well, I'm in the Air Force. I was busy. I'm like, "And?" So.
Oh, okay.
She was in the Air Force?
Yeah, second job.
Oh, nice.
Reserves.
He's a fly boy.
Yeah, it's like that first time I went to Hawaii.
Flying right into my prostate.
The first time I went to Hawaii, I was talking to this guy on Grindr. Oh, Liam. His name was Liam. And he was gorgeous. And he had a body that just wanted to go ahead. Like, oh. Fuck, he was so hot. And it was like rock hard. Oh my God.
The body or the?
Everything. And.
Okay.
Anyway, so the next day after that, you know, whole thing went down and I realized that I forgot my glasses at his place and I had to awkwardly go back and get them. I made a post on Facebook and I said, you know, I'm not going to say I served my country last night, but I'm not going to say I didn't. And I said that to Starbucks guy.
You sent that to Starbucks guy?
No, I said that to him in front of everybody.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Proud of you.
Have you ever served your country?
Many times.
Jay?
Man, I was a staple at the Westover Air Force Base. Oh, my God.
We've heard that story.
No, I couldn't tell you. Maybe.
Man, I was like a dish there.
Some petri sort of dish.
Oh, I was some sort of something, let me tell you. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I used to sneak in there in the freaking trunk of a car. What was it? She had a Mustang. That's what she had.
A Mustang. Oh, boy.
She had a Mustang. That shit skidded all over the place. Mustang, one drop of water.
Mustang
that.
Sally?
Mustang Sally.
Tommy.
Mustang Tommy.
Huddled up in back of the trunk.
There you go. That was you.
Fun times when we were young, man. The things we used to do. And the things we used to do. But so, you know, things are happening. Before we go to break, maybe we can talk about the fact that we actually have an official trial that started last Monday. They started jury selection for the first of the many trials for Donald Trump, and that man is losing his fucking mind right now.
This is me caring. I don't.
And for me, it's like, you know, just to see how everything plays out, you know, once they have the jury, it's, you know, the American people are going to be able to see the evidence against the former hashtag not my president. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know.
It's going to be hard to find impartial people.
Well, that's what happened. You and your videos.
He's looking at a video.
Another video.
Somebody sent me saying.
So, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out in this. You know, like, questions, what happens if they do find this man guilty, right? Is he going to go to jail, right? I mean, these...
If there's jail time, does he still qualify to run as president?
Yes. Unfortunately. And he can win.
We could straight up.
We had a person run for president from jail. They didn't win.
Well, they ran.
But they got the nomination.
But they got the
nomination. Well, from his peers?
Oh, God.
They were able to actually register and run for president and get votes.
All right, never mind.
So
if you have a criminal record, you can't vote. But you can run for office.
Imagine that, right? Well, in some states like Florida, you can't. If you are a convicted felon, you can't vote.
So,
but you can run for office.
It's some crazy shit. But anyway, so the trial is underway. You know, jury selection is underway. Eventually, I would say probably like 2 weeks from now, we'll start seeing actual evidence be presented in front of a judge and see where things turn out. He is losing his shit on Truth Social. The man is going bananas. He has a gag order in place, which he has now violated, and the judge is considering sanctioning him and monetarily up until the point where, you know, dude, if you keep doing this, like, because he's going after the judge's daughter on Truth Social, and
that's not smart.
No, it's not. Especially, this is the judge that, regardless of the evidence and what the jury finds, this is the person that's responsible for passing the sentence. The judge determines how many years you get in prison, right? All he needs is a guilty verdict from a jury of your peers. They don't make a decision as to how many years this person gets in jail. That's the judge. So I was like, yeah, you don't want to go down that road. But, you know, it's him. He wants to turn this thing into a political stunt and use that as a means to fundraise. And it was going to backfire on him, you know, pretty significantly. And I'm just sitting back, like, I was in Puerto Rico this weekend, and I was just like trying to explain to my friend Robert, you know,
oh God,
the logistics.
Robert.
No, because he was asking me, yo, what's going on? Because, you know, it's like he lives in Puerto Rico and, you know, people don't care about because, you know, we don't vote for president. Because they don't.
I know.
And I had to go and give him the rundown of what this man is facing, you know, and all the shit that, you know, all the legal jeopardy that he's in. And, you know, and we're just eagerly awaiting for some way to knock this fucker out. This person can't be president. He's a danger to society. And to this country, and to the security and our constitution.
Yeah, believe it or not, there's people in the island that believe in his bullshit.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And there are people that think the opposite of what you think.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
There's this one on Facebook. She just goes on and on and on about how stupid us liberals are. And she hangs out in a liberal space all the time. Mm. And I'm just like, girl. She is lost. She is up shit's creek without a paddle.
But in lighter news.
But in lighter news.
Did you know?
Did I know? You sound like, I feel like this is going to turn into one of those episodes. Is it Neil deGrasse, the science guy?
Yeah, Neil deGrasse.
Did you know? Yeah. But go ahead.
That if you mix plutonium with, no, I'm just kidding. That Tushy. Yes. Bidet Tushy has a travel bidet now.
They do. So it's hellotushy.com. Don't go to tushy.com.
Yeah, don't go to tushy.com. Hello Tushy. But it's like, it honestly looks kind of like a water bottle, but it's collapsible. You can take it anywhere. It's super durable. And now you can travel with your own
Tushy.
I went to Hello Tushy.
No, you went to Tushy.
No, tushy.com.
Did you go to tushy.com? I tell him not to, and he does.
I brought it up because I
saw. Don't jump off the bridge, Jay.
I was sitting in the office, and I was like, I was in a moment of just, I need to scroll for a bit. Mm. So I was scrolling, and I saw it, and I was like, we have been talking about this
for years.
So long. Evidently, they've had it for a while, but now they have new colors. A new 3-in-1.
But they look like water bottles. And my whole thing is like, how does that work? Do you have to like go and squish it in there? And
I think you might. It's like collapsible, so you fill it up and then you boop.
You sit on it and does the thing go?
Up your butt.
Oh my god.
A collapsible? Well, what are we talking about?
The collapsible bidet.
Is that the one that looks like a water bottle?
Yes. It's like, how does that work? Like, do you have to squeeze it under? And what happens if something falls on it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be holding it.
And that material?
Well, if you sat on it, it would just disappear. But
alrighty. I hate her. She's bad. She's bad.
It's plastic, so you kind of push it and it. Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is more for the lady convenience.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I need a lot more water than what fits in there for me to be able to clean out.
Yeah, no, and look at the way it spits out the water when the thing flips over, it kind of comes. So if you're pointing down this way, it's going to hit.
Well, I mean, I think that's why it's angled. But anyway, we got to go to break.
I think it's more of a female.
Yeah, we do.
Female friendly.
Well, that's awesome.
But hey.
I think it's gender neutral friendly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't doubt for a fact.
I think it's non-binary.
Okay, girl.
I wouldn't doubt for a fact 1 minute if, you know, you bought a couple and just took them with you.
I'm not saying I did. I'm not saying I didn't.
Okay, well, Well, you enjoy them.
All right, I will review them when we come back.
All right, well, listen, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back. All right, ladies and gents, welcome back from the break. Thank you so much for allowing us to do that because we needed to take a quick break and refresh and do all that good stuff and get ready for what's about to happen. So, you know, after a much needed hiatus, I'm assuming he enjoyed his break from us. From us crazy folks.
Oh, come on. That's not true.
But we're happy. We're ecstatic to have him back in the studio with us. Well, not in the studio, but on the show with us is the one and only, the amazing Dr. Evan Goldstein is here with us. Dr. G, how the hell are you, man?
It's been too long.
Yes, it has.
You're busy.
You're a busy man. You're doing great things.
Well, you guys are too. Timing sucks.
Yes, yeah,
it does. You know, it would be better if we didn't record live, but we do record live. However, because our lives have been getting so busy, we are planning to do some pre-recording marathons where we can maybe schedule something in advance.
Yeah.
That'd be great, because then you can get me much more.
You know, we want that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I would give you all of me if you guys it a little bit more conducive to not Thursday night at 6 fucking o'clock.
No, you know, because the thing is, sometimes if we have something happening on the day that, you know, we're scheduled to record live, then we just cancel the show for the evening. And so we figured, okay, let's pick a day a month. We'll record 2 or 3 episodes and have them on, you know, standby in case we need an episode we got to throw in there so that we could, you know, also potentially enjoy our lives. I mean, stars do this all the time, do they not?
Yeah, we're not stars.
Yeah, I know, but
you are. So you're all stars.
Oh, so how are you, Dr. G?
I'm good. I'm crazy. I'm working ridiculous. There's so many assholes that have problems in this world. It's unbelievable. You have a problem too now?
Oh, yeah. I need to come see you.
Oh no. What's sticking out of your ass?
I found a little lump.
Wow. You found the lump in the bump.
A lump in the bump. Little is it like pea sized? Yeah, it's probably a hemorrhoid.
I live with those on the daily.
Okay.
They take 6 to 8 weeks to get better. So make sure, like, do like preparation age. You know, you could do Advil, Motrin to kind of break that little lumpy thing up, but it stays for quite a while.
Oh, I've never really had any. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't bother. I just happened to be washing the other day, and I was like, hey, what the fuck is this?
Surprise.
So, yeah. That takes some time, but you don't need to see me. Only if it persists, if it's a thing, you know, by all means, I'm more than happy. You can even take a picture of your hole and send it to me. I'm more than happy to look at it.
Yay. I do that all the time, and he never responds.
Clearly, there's a reason
why. Nick, this is not appropriate. This is not a medical question.
You do it in vanish mode.
In vanish mode.
Honey, he's you're the one that disappears after you see the hole.
He's like, is that a hole or a donut? No.
Oh my God.
Did you have poppers before you took this picture? Let me
stop. Thank you for the advice,
Doc.
Oh
my God. Oh my God. Yeah. You see? You why missed you us.
Letting, why do you let them talk to you like this? I mean, why?
Those two?
Those two.
They're Puerto Rican. You can't cross them, you know.
Gotta be careful. Yeah.
I have a plot in the back of Tommy's yard right now.
With his name on it.
Yeah.
That's too funny. So now I've been busy. I'm working and working. I wrote a book. Did you guys see the book?
I did. Yeah,
so that's what originally I wanted to chat with you about, but evidently we're supposed to just give a teaser.
Okay, yeah, let's give a teaser.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got so much going on, so there's a couple of things that we're going to actually ask you about, the book being one of them, but why don't you tee it up?
Yeah, let's cover the book in a little bit, but I know that we sort of talked about your partnership with, I'm going to say it wrong, or maybe Seekus, yes.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to like check in and see how all that's going.
Yeah, you know, I think Seekus is an organization that really is really grounded much more on Washington and policy driven work to try to figure out how do we put sexual education into the classroom, into the policy side of things for protection and to make sure people have access to care. So it's really amazing partnership. So Future Method, the brand that we work with, that I founded, and we partnered with them to really kind of take a lot of what I know from an anal perspective and start talking about, obviously, the narratives, right? Giving people the sexual education. But now I'm trying to get much more kind of into Washington's side, which is to say, how do we really make sure that people have access to this standard curriculums? What are those curriculums? How do we kind of destigmatize and take away the myths out of Washington and what they think is going on. And so it's been really good. You know, they're super powerful. We need to be more and more powerful as it relates to pushing our narratives. And so, yeah, it's exciting. We're super excited to continue that partnership.
Can you talk about a little bit about the successes that organization has had in getting curriculum in schools?
Yeah. I mean, I think that really in and of itself is tough, right? You know, and you're looking at the education, whether it's through elementary to high school, and now all you start seeing many more things being banned as it relates to that. So I think that, you know, for me, it's a new organization for me to be a part of. And so I think a lot of it is looking at what has been successful and what hasn't been, and then starting to figure out how do we push kind of the agenda that we want. It's tough.
It's not an easy thing because you're trying to convince, you know, politicians to move policy that currently, you know, half of a government body, doesn't agree with for whatever reason.
And they're all taking it up the ass. I mean,
oh, of course, that. You know,
I mean, we totally know that. So I think, but I think it's being strategic, right? And the reality is, like, I can't go in there and be talking, you know, gay anal sex to, and that's very similar also from a book perspective. It's like, we need to know the audience, right? Right. And it's taken us this long to get to where we are from a sexual education perspective. How do we continue to sit at the table, have appropriate conversations, but not necessarily go into, hey, I'm putting fists up your ass and going in that capacity, because that's just not going to work mm-hmm. in government, right? It's not right. going to work for policy. I think the issue is that what I'm seeing in the office is lots of injuries that can be prevented with appropriate education and appropriate access to care. Right. And that's it. And at the end of the day, it seems like they all really care about money anyway. So it's all about cost savings. And how do we, if we're educating, how do we minimize complications, tearing, STIs, all of these appropriate components to bring cost structure down?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we just started. I did a talk with them, and they're instrumental with Future Method and kind of working to kind of continue to push the narratives. So I'm hoping that through time with their connections that we can sit at the table and have the right discussions.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys working to get into any of the, you know, pride centers around the DC area and then expand outward from there? I know that, you know, our local pride center, we do a lot of work with LGBTQ youth, not necessarily educating them on sexual health, but that is something that is a huge need. Right. But yeah. If you don't have the right professional to talk about it or the right tools to talk about it, it's difficult, because you could honestly, how do I say this? But like, you could put yourself at liability, right?
Totally. Yeah. You know, I think, right. I think a lot of what it is first on Capitol Hill, and really the initiatives to change policy. That's what my take on it. But with that being said, yes, all of that stuff plays into it, which is, how do we figure out? Is it college campuses to start with? Is it centers? All of these, you know, it's hard, because even with a lot of, like, I went to a college campus for their LGBTQ kind of community center component that they have on the college campus, and three people showed up. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it just winds up being like, yeah, you have access to this education, but how do we make sure that it's actually rooted, that people are present and evaluated, you know, and evaluating the situation the right way? That's where it's like, you know, Harvard had a Sex 101 course that was really, you know, really well attended to. And those are the things, like, I think for us, I don't know how quickly we're going to get into high schools, right? Mm-hmm. Just because still this kind of a situation. But I think for colleges and going into centers that have access to this, and we make sure that we are broadening, I think that's where the book comes in. You know, I'm curious to see where it goes, you know, because I felt like nobody was talking about these issues.
Right.
People didn't have access to it. And there's also that stigma and phobia internally, where I don't want to, you know, I don't want to like Bespoke Surgical's beautiful anal image, because people may know that I'm seeking care there, or I don't want to, you know, there's a lot, right? The social dynamic, the social stigma, your own stigma plays into it. Mm-hmm. And that's where, for me, the writing of the book, which we'll get into, is that it's like, when people Google, right, people are more than happy to talk to Google than they are to talk to friends, practitioners, or whatnot. So the key for this was, okay, how do we provide kind of a bottoming Bible that allows you to have access, if you so desire, to now learn all the right things about it, you know? And I think that that's where CECUS and all of this, everything is kind of coming together to try to say, okay, how do we really push this initiative for everybody so everybody has access to it?
Yeah. Right. And I mean, I want to talk about the bottoming Bible. Like, I wish I had that growing up. Don't you?
I wish I had it. I mean, there's so many things that I was completely oblivious to as a youngster navigating, you know, this whole, you know, world that we live in. And, you know, and we're talking about a world pre-prep, right?
Totally.
Which was a lot more intimidating and a lot more scarier than most people growing up in today's world are facing.
But at the same time, you have to think about it in the lens of a lot of people that are beginning to experiment and beginning to, you know, have anal sex might not have access or have the ability to ask for the access to PrEP.
But they're growing up in a day and age in where data, education, information is readily available, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could be a teen wondering about what it's like to be gay and whether or not you're contemplating coming out, et cetera. But you have already read, whether it's, you know, the right material or not, you already have access to such a huge library of different, you know, testimonials or experiences from people, or, you know, websites like Dr. G's website where they can go and you know, read testimonials from people, read his blog, right? And about what people are experiencing. There's so much available today that wasn't available just 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so my experience, not having things like this readily available was that much more scarier than most growing up today. So yeah, I mean, something like this book, you know, that you've worked on, and that, you know, potentially is ready for the masses, would have been such a great tool to have as a young gay man.
It was interesting because, like, when we were shopping this around, so we have this Hachette Group, which is part of a bigger publishing house called Grand Central Publishing. You know, one of the first things when we were shopping this book idea around was like, I can't believe this doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And like, this is such a travesty for not only the gay community, anyone that wants to engage anally, to have access to this type of information. And I said, you know, it's not only does it not exist to this degree, I said, access to this type of care doesn't exist globally. I mean, people flying from all over to see me because they just can't have access to thinking outside the box of how do we support communities the right way. And how do we look at communities and figure out what their sexual practices are, mm-hmm. so that they can engage the way that they want to? I think the key for me has always been, I don't care what you shove up your hole. I don't care how you engage sexually. I don't care what you do, as long as you do it safely. And if something goes wrong, at least you have access mm-hmm. to care that is able to now get you back into a good space. But the key for me with this was like all the people that don't have access to care or don't have access to this type of information, how do we put it in a Bible that allows people to start to analyze? One, you know, the chapters go through mostly all of the stigma and shame surrounding this, right? Just from even the hetero boys, right? We always say the hetero boys are always like, don't touch my hole. But then the second you lick their hole or put the finger in there, they're like,
oh, don't stop.
Fucking ever.
But like, when you talk about the stigma part of it, I mean, putting something like this out to the world, putting a book like this out to the world, and even when we're talking about, you know, LGBTQ sexual education, I feel like the biggest combat that we face is, oh, if you teach that, you're actually going to make people gay. You're going to make people embrace a side or a sexuality that is actually not, in fact, who they are. Like, how do we as a community, how do we as, you know, individuals have that conversation with people and be like, that's not the case. We're just giving people the tools they need.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's trying to take it away from a gay act and making it just pleasure, right? And when you look at like nipple play, when you look at oral play, you know, under armpit, groin play, anal play, all of these things, I think it's taking out the heteronormative world of like, you must be a homo, mm-hmm. to now say, okay, what are the ways that we all as human beings engage from a pleasure perspective? And there are pleasure receptors everywhere. Some people love the armpit. Some people love the groin. Some people love the ass, the nipples, whatever that is. But the reality is that we have to first start taking that away. Obviously, you know, we don't have to necessarily get on this whole Diddy situation, but that doesn't help our cause, right? Because here we are again, having these, whether it's right or wrong or whatnot, where then again, it becomes this, you know, closeted, not out, you know, demon, right? When none of that, who knows? But at the end of the day, those types of things just keep setting us back as it relates to how do we just allow people to become comfortable in their own skin, whatever that is, as it relates to pleasure, right? Right? If it's anal and it's anal play in some capacity, whether it's external play, whether it's just rimming and or internal, again, it's over time. And you see it in the younger kids. I mean, the younger kids, much more fluid. Much more experimental of, hey, I don't know who I am and what I am, but I know that it feels good and right. I'm going to explore it until I say, hey, this is, I want to go one way or another or bring it into my world. I definitely see more hetero guys coming into the office that are into anal components, but it's few and far between. We still have a lot of fucking work to do. That's
right. Right. And you know, like, you make a great point about, you know, trying to, you know, people will try to use this as a means to find another reason why to push back on our community, right? And, oh, you know, you're teaching what this book will cause people to be gay or whatever the case may be. Listen, we've been learning about different things and different ailments and different diseases for a very long time, right? The fact that, for example, you read up on someone who may be mentally ill is not going to make you mentally unstable, right? You're learning about different things. The fact that, you know, you read up on, you know, how to prevent HIV, right, is not going to make you HIV positive. It's just like the fact that you're reading this book, whether you're a straight person or a gay person or someone who doesn't really identify, won't necessarily make you gay, but you could probably pick up this book and find something that's really good that will help you in your own personal life, regardless of where you land on the spectrum.
I think there's a lot that goes to that. You know, I think one of the things to think about is, first of all, this is not only a book for bottoms and taking it up the ass, right? It's also for tops and people that are. And there's tons of heteros that are engaging with their women in anal sex that are doing things completely incorrectly, right?
Right.
Women's skin is that much thinner. I see male to female, so transitioning male to female on estrogens, the skin becomes so thin that they tear very easily. Mm-hmm. Women's pelvises, the angle is much different. The muscles are much more laxed so that they can give birth during pregnancy. So there's lots of little nuances. And again, this book, like, we do a lot of things of highlighting for tops, like, what are the things that you need to know? Why is it important to know about foreplay and anatomy and to really get into an understanding so that you don't harm somebody and or create damage for yourself and the like? So I think, you know, look, there's always going to be fucking haters out there.
Of course.
I don't really care. I actually play into the haters because at the end of the day, the key for us right now is people are engaging. And you can do all you want to say, hey, you know what? Like, fuck this. I don't want anyone talking about gay sex or anal sex. And it's just pushing. But it's the same thing in my practice. People come in with skin tags because aesthetically it fucks with them, right? And you could say all you want, no, just leave it. Like, who cares? You know, the reality is, no, people do care. And people are taking it up the ass. And people are engaging in acts that can potentially cause lots of damage to them or others. And the reality is that we as a society should be providing that education and care. You don't necessarily have to agree with it. You don't want to take it up the ass. That's no problem. No. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the reality is like, we need the information.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of it just because at the end of the day, it's like, it's everything that I've been seeing in the office over the last 15 years where we started to be like, okay, now that I've kind of honed everything, technique, understanding the way that it heals, understanding the capacity, understanding walking through and understanding all the sexual nuances that each community has. Now it was like, okay, how do we actually put it into literature and give people that access? And it's so interesting because, like, I can write 20 million pieces for, like, New England Journal of Medicine and all these other shit. The lay person, the individual popular press person, couldn't give a fuck about any of the medical journals. But what they care about is they're like, oh, my God, you're being published. You're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's amazing. Let's go, you know. So again, it also adds a lot to the credibility of the mission that we're doing,
right,
which is how do we now, it gives another voice to take the book to daytime, to nighttime TV, to podcasts, to all these places to really start just continuing to push all the different narratives. It may not even be gay anal sex, as long as we have some conversation to slowly start pushing the narratives.
Yeah.
Right. So how was that? Talk a little bit about that process. You have all these, you know, experiences that you've had as a medical professional in your field. You decide that you want to put something together that will be very helpful for many people, not just our community. How was that process? I'm sure you couldn't have everything that you wanted to put in the book in there. How hard was it to choose what ended up in the final version of the book and just getting to that process?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if I'll ever do a book again. Process is like a year and a half and a ridiculous amount of work. But with that being said, you know, I think one, it's first surrounding yourself with really good people, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, my publicist and everyone involved in all of this components, right, from selling the proposal, creating the proposal, to meeting a group that believes in what we're doing, to then, you know, like the Hachette Group and Grand Central Publishing, and then Will, who was involved in really helping streamline this. You know, you surround yourself with people that believe not only in what we're doing, but obviously the mission and how we're going to do it, mm-hmm. right? I had really free rein to go wherever we wanted to, but we wanted to just make sure that we were completely inclusive, right? It's not just a gay Bible. It's an anal aspect for everyone, right? We all have assholes. How do we shit correctly? How do we teach our kids the right ways to poop and live and go on Peloton and lift weights? How do we look at our dieting to make sure that we're doing all the right things? How do we then, if we're into anal, understanding the architecture, the anatomy, and going through all of that? So I was able to really go a lot of places with it, you know, and then obviously into the fisting side and kind of bringing all the different narratives that I see day in and day out in the office. And it was super supportive, you know, for everybody. So I'm super excited to kind of see where the conversation goes. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we're seeing two camps, people that are all like, let's talk about anal and let's go fucking crazy and chat about all the different components. And then the other camp of like, I don't think we can talk about the anal side, but we can talk about kind of pregnancy. We could talk about shitting and we can talk. And again, you know, it's like you can't just say, oh, fuck you to one side. I'm only going to be this, because it's like daytime television is definitely not ready to just be like, hey, let's talk about anal sex and how do you, you know, prepare for it and go from there. But they would be able to talk about, how do I prevent hemorrhoids and fissures? Mm-hmm. How do I make sure that I poop correctly so that I don't have issues and or teach my kids about sexual education and access, right? Versus like, you know, I'm sticking fists up your ass and this is how you're doing it, right? So I'm curious to just see where it continues. Because now it's like, you know, the book was picked up overseas, picked up in translation. So we're seeing that a lot of people feel the same way, that this should be out there. So it's super cool. It's fun.
That's amazing. But it kind of bums me out that I won't see you like on, you know, on The View.
Well, who knows? Let's see, man. We're trying. I am
never know.
Narratives. Believe me, man. Today I just had a call with one of them. Like, come on, like grow up here. Let's be realistic, you know?
Right. I, you know, it's interesting that you say that, but you know, there is still, you know, like we think that we've come so far in the sexual revolution era. Right. But there is still a very huge taboo on the subject of sex when it comes to, you know, public television, public policy. And it's striking to see that, you know, even after, you know, 40 years or more of what we perceive to be, you know, the sexual revolution of the 70s, you know, and live free and blah, 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 and careless, that almost a quarter, you know, like, well, actually almost half a century later, we're still in a space where, you know, sexuality, or at least certain components of it, is very taboo in mainstream media.
I do think, though, that's so much improving. I mean, think about like Heartstoppers and the Royal, you know, Young Royals and kind of Saltburn and all of this. Again.
That's a whole nother episode.
I mean, but why didn't I wanted them to fuck like
so badly?
They missed that scene.
Like,
even if it wasn't like just come on my face, you know, once. It's like why couldn't that happen?
They needed to be naked in the same space. Like,
yes. And
literally, there was a moment when that happened with the bathtub when I was just like, okay. This is a lot, but I'm committed to this. They're going to fuck. It's going to happen.
And then no. And then like you knew he was going to fucking die. I'm sorry if anyone's listening that didn't watch it. But
spoiler
but,
alert.
But the reality was like that had so much potential. But this is where I think you're going is that I think we're moving in such a good direction. You could see it on the press perspective, the coverage and what we're putting out there.
Right.
But they have so much room from an audience to push it a little bit more. It doesn't need to be raunchy, even though obviously we would love different scenes, but just like putting in prep and putting in doxy pep and like putting in things of like a little bit more of pushing the narrative so that we look as if we're a concerned community, right? That like we are doing the right thing and people are doing the right thing to mitigate risk. You don't see that side of it. You just see kind of this, I don't know. Did you guys see Good Grief with Dan Levy? Did you see that one?
I did. Yeah.
I really liked that.
Did you like that? Yeah, no, I did. I think it's interesting because I think like, I feel at funny enough at Easter, I was sitting in a room full of a bunch of white women, my family. And, we started talking about Saltburn and started talking and I had never thought that they would ever watch it. And they were like, well, we just got so invested and then we were watching it. But like the normalization that is happening around sex and the conversations that come out of it that you never thought you would have with certain people, especially the people that I was sitting in that room with. you're right. I mean, I think it's slowly happening. And I think that we will start seeing, you know, a turning of the tide, but I mean, yeah, some of it, still tough.
I just looked at Saltburn like a modern day, like talented Mr. Ripley. It gave me those vibes.
Oh, the scene when he was like just the bathtub scene, and then like finally when he got naked, and like in the beginning I was like, oh, he's kind of geeky, like which is hot, but it's
but he
not.
Got hotter.
I was like, is it the right character? And then all of a sudden he got so hot. I was like, wait a
what
second,
happened?
It's not the right character. Like, where is it? And then all of a sudden I was like, fuck, it kind of was amazing.
Yeah.
But that one scene was missing. Yeah, it was.
It really was.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought Good Grief was really beautiful, and I thought
But again, like that's where we're going with somewhat like again, TV and media and this, it's a slow process, right. But that doesn't mean that we can't continue to push it. And it's not that I think it's like we just got to sit at the table, and the same thing with Seekers and the same thing with the book and like, you know, The View and like The Drew Show and all these others, like trying to just be and sit and even just having a conversation about this, which is why is it that sex is not destigmatized and we can't just have a conversation. Like I even said, like, let's just talk about that. It doesn't even need to be beyond that.
Right.
Why does the audience feel like if you start talking about sex, that everybody is like quite coy and not able to just be like, yes, I love fucking getting my my ass rimmed and played. Mm-hmm. And these are the reasons why, and own it. You know, it's really nice.
I think there's a very huge political umbrella that's driving a lot of the conversations that we're having today surrounding sex. For example, you're starting to see states where they're oppressing women's right to choose, to have a choice over their reproductive body or their health, for example.
Yeah, but that just means we have to talk about it more.
We do.
I don't necessarily think it's coming from a political lens. While they are trying to shut things down and stop conversations from happening, I think it comes from more of a generational learning type of issue.
And both. I mean, to me, it's both, because you also have to think about, for example, think about the people that are receptive to having conversations, true, honest conversations about the different sexual experiences you could have as a human being.
I think we need to do the Dr. G show and just have those conversations there.
Yeah. And, you know, there's not a lot of people on a certain side of a political spectrum that will be open to those conversations, per se.
You know, there's so much that goes into it, right? Whether it's policy and government stuff, whether it's family dynamics, whether it's culture, whether it's your own internalized components, right? I mean, again, I always tell people, like, you know, just like with my son Sebastian, like eating certain foods, right? It's always no, no, no. And then you try it. And he's like, oh, I really like that. And it's the same thing in everything from a sexual perspective, which is you don't know, like, we don't know so many things that may actually feel so good and really improve your sexual world. So I always say it's nice to go outside of your comfort zone to try to figure out, because again, yeah, you could always pull it back and say, hey, I didn't like that, or I did like this. But if you, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And the reality is that, again, if we take it away from you're a homosexual because you like anal play, and we start talking about pleasure and pleasure zones and understanding that, there's so many people that I think would benefit beyond, but you have a lot to work through, and some people can work through it. Some people can't. And there's lots of ramifications from that, but I just feel bad for people, especially that are wired, that they do want something up their ass and yet they either functionally or mentally or psychosocially just can't. And that's obviously, from a book perspective, is how do we look at that? Like, one of the first myths is, if I play with my hole, I'm a homosexual, right? Everybody's like, God, stay away from my asshole. You know, it means I'm gay, you know? And then it's like, you know, the others that go through, like, what if I shit on somebody? You know, how do you not shame that side of things? And literally, it just kind of walks through all the different facets. And then more so, I think the anatomy is really important, because I don't think anyone really understands what we're asking of the skin and the muscle. Obviously, we speak a lot of that, but it's more of, so the pictures go over and really give you a really good understanding of your own anatomy. And then you have to figure out how it starts to function. From there, the functionality starts to be like, okay, I'm cool, I can take it, that's great. Or no, I'm not. And what can I do to get myself into a good space? So you guys will have to check it out.
We're excited.
So, one, when does the book come out? But two, do you also, in the book, share stories? Because, you know, previous renditions of our conversations, we used to talk about some of the blogs from Medium.
Yeah, totally.
And some of those were very informative. Some of them were very funny. But do you kind of inform some of the narrative in the book with those experiences?
Yeah. So most of the chapters have kind of a personal experience, whether even some of them are my own, with my own fissuring and tearing and exploration into anal. Some of it is obviously the patients, you know, gay, straight, male, female. So yeah, there's a lot of that narrative to give people an understanding of, hey, I resonate with that person or that individual. So yeah, it's and a lot of it is fun. Some of it's sad. Some of it's, but I think it really just helps to kind of normalize it. And make it a little bit more humane of, hey, this is important stuff, and how do we do things correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Dr. G, as always, we are excited that you took time out of your busy schedule to join us on today's episode. I feel like we're going to get a lot from this new venture and this new book, and always grateful that you work so hard in educating our community and taking care of your patients with a top-notch attitude and professionalism. You're an amazing man. You do great work.
Thanks. So a couple things with the book. It comes out May 28th.
Yes.
You can do pre-orders, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Hachette Group. Also, I took out a website, butseriously.com. And so it has all the information, gives you kind of insights to it. We were actually just named on Audible's must-have lists for recordings of the book. So it's going to be cool. So I'm curious, but I obviously, let's figure out a better timing. This is fine. This is actually fine. I'll make it work. But we can continue the conversations of some cool stories, stuff like that. And then let's see where it goes.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, we're excited.
I do have one last question. Is that your butt on the cover of the book?
No.
Damn it.
Do you see it? No.
But seriously.
It may kind of look like that, actually. Let me see.
We were so close.
Maybe next episode. Everyone's tune in next episode. I'll show you my ass, okay?
Nick, it might come true.
I'm pre-ordering right now. Pre-ordering.
All right, I love you guys.
Love you too, Dr. G.
Talk to you soon. Dr. G. Ciao. Bye.
Oh my God, this man is amazing. I tell you, it's always a fun time when he's on the show, and we've missed him. So I'm glad that he was able to make it on today's show. Yeah, but seriously, that's the name of the book. Yeah.
I just pre-ordered it.
Yeah, so it comes out May 19th?
28th.
May 28th. I was going to say the 29th, but... So May 28th. All right, and we'll put all the information in the links for the book on tonight's episode post. And y'all can go ahead and download that. All right, so does anyone have anything that you want to talk about before we move on to our wrapping it up?
No, I mean, I think we're good. I think, you know, just welcoming a guest back.
Yes.
It was nice.
Okay. It was fun to have him back today. Wasn't it?
All right. So, Jaybird, who's first? No, it's not Jaybird. It's Trish. I don't even have my notes open, by the way.
Mama Kim's minute.
I tried. All right, well.
Give her love.
Fairy guest.
All right, everybody. Yes. Here's Mama Kim's minute. Number one, the Masked Singer Colton Underwood has had talks about gay version of The Bachelor. I'm totally down for that. Number two, Shania Twain and gay cowboy crooner Orville Peck team up with John Waters in a very queer music video.
Y'all.
Number three,
I want to see that.
The first set of conjoined twins to identify as different genders has passed away. But the rest of it was interesting.
The first set of conjoined twins to identify as different genders
has passed away.
Has died at 62. Oh. But the set, both persons?
So well, one each of them as female. Straight, yeah. Yeah, one identifies
as male.
And
the other one, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to read that. So, yeah. All right. Well, Jaybird, is
moving
it yours?
On. Yep, moving okay. on. On this day in gay history, brought to you by Gay Talk 2.0. So, Echo picketed the UN April 18th, 1965 at the U.S. of A., 29 demonstrators from the East Coast Homophile Organization, or ECHO, picketed the United Nations in New York City. Why? I don't know.
Guess we're going to have to find out.
Very short article.
Yeah. You know, Trish threw you a bone this week.
She did. She was nice to me.
She makes you work for that.
Yeah, she does.
Like, sometimes. She really does. She really does. All right. So,
moving on to announcements.
No. Who won your week?
Oh. Who won my week? Man, this has been I don't have anybody right now. I think.
No, that's cool. Yeah. So, who won the week?
Oh, I'm going to give you who won the week for me.
Oh, go for it.
That crazy bird trying to nest on your fan outside.
Did I tell you?
I have taken down about 4 nests.
On my fan outside of the patio.
From the patio fan.
Paloma.
That bird is persistent.
And then I got home and found another one, and I had to pull it down.
Well,
yeah, she's nasty.
Yeah,
so Avella won the week for me. Avella. Thank you for transferring me to and from Puerto Rico safely. I had my flight attendant for both flights. Jasmine was amazing. She was awesome, funny. I sat in the very first seat at the top. I was like, you know, I want leg room, so that's what I got. And you know, she was super cool. We chatted the whole way. You know, you shoot the shit and you make friends. And yeah, it was a very easy flight. I can't believe that I made it to Puerto Rico in 3 hours and 20 minutes down. Nice. And we got in 3 hours. We got in 25 minutes early coming back.
Oh, nice.
And then one of the flight attendants said, you know, I love this pilot because he just loves just punching it. I was like, okay, well, he can punch it. Just get it.
Be careful with this recycled plane, please.
Yeah, right. And
don't punch it too hard.
Yeah, so Jasmine, homegirl, you won my week because you were just great. It was great to see a familiar face to and from your destination. So, yeah, small crew. So, which is why you probably most likely will run into
the same people frequently.
So, yeah, that was fun. What about you, Nicholas?
I mean, I'll do a cop out. Dr. G won my week just because I missed him.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, but that's a good one. And it truly is. He is great.
And I can't wait to get your book and read it, literally, and listen to it.
And so that's what I wanted to, because he did mention Audibles, right?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be an audio version of the book.
I literally just pre-ordered it.
Oh, okay.
On Audible.
I used the Gay Talk credit card because it is a Gay Talk expense.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's the way to do it. All right. Jaybird, take us out.
Moving on to announcements.
Moving on up.
If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can help support our show with a pledged donation. The donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
Nick. All right, everybody, you know what I'm about to say here. So get the Future Method and all other products and pre-order, but seriously, today.
Yeah.
All products are doctor developed, including a book, can clean out without hurting your bum, take confidence anywhere with the anal powder packs, and now increase your stretch goals with the three-piece anal dilation kit. Visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum accessory and or book today.
We got to change that whole message now.
I know. And yeah. I increase didn't
your
that.
What is it that you say? Increase your
stretch goals.
Your stretch goals, and now you can increase your
knowledge.
Your knowledge.
I feel like that's okay.
Stretch your ass and your brain.
Exactly. Take it for a ride.
While you stretch your brain. You can anyway, also.
All right, moving on. Where were we at? Let's see. It's time to put a ring on it.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Put a book on it.
Put a book on it.
Drop the book on the house.
Yep. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcast, YouTube Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Wow, proud of you. Good job. All right, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gaytalk20.com. Tom, take us out.
She's going to do this. All right, ladies and gents, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab where you can leave us questions that you may have, comments, suggestions. Submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us via our phone number. Leave us a message with any questions you may have. We'll answer those for you on the show. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all of those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live typically on Wednesdays at the 6 p.m. mark. Somewhere around there. And you can access our show, as Jay mentioned, on your favorite podcasting service or on our YouTube page. And we're super grateful to be with you all here today. But I want to thank you. That is our show. Ladies and gents, y'all have a good night. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.